This is KPDO 89.3 FM serving Pescadero and KZSG 90.7 FM serving San Gregorio and KPDO.net serving the whole South Coast. And I am with Michelle Dragony for our weekly Coastside Buzz report. And Michelle, we have so much to cover. So let's get started.
That's a weekly hazard for us, isn't it? So we've got 30 minutes. Well, the first thing that caught my eye this week, and it wasn't my lead story, but it was a lead story for a lot of people, was the stranded kite surfer.
Right.
Made all sorts of news. I think it was all on the Washington Post social media. He was rescued from an isolated beach north of Davenport Landing after spelling out help with rocks. I mean, that is just so cool. And when you see the video of this, you can see that tide was coming in and there was no way that he was going to get off that beach.
Oh,
so
my God.
A private helicopter happened to see it and called 911.
Great.
And post links that I have on that post is to Cal Fire CZU's Facebook page, which is, if you haven't liked it, it's a great page. Their public information officer, Cecile Juliet, is just phenomenal. She's an ex-journalist. And she brings her journalisming to the Facebook page, and every one of her stories is great. Always gives me goosebumps to see how the first responders work together in tough situations.
Yeah, rescue is their thing, and it's amazing to watch. And we have so many rescues along the coast, but this sounds so different than the norm to have somebody spell out help with rocks. Come on.
And the funny thing is, the kite surfer disappeared because he didn't have any medical issues, and nobody knows who he is. I don't think he wants to know. He wants to be
maybe
known.
He wants to stay anonymous. Yeah.
Anonymous, right. Another thing that's happening down in the South Coast that even people up here are just going to love is, after years and years of being closed, the Pigeon Point Lighthouse Restoration Project is starting. Mm-hmm. And it's starting with some scaffolding, which they've sheathed the whole building in dustproof stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's hazardous materials abatement because there's asbestos and lead, which is part of the sheathing.
Wow.
And they're also going to do some investigative probing, which I'm not quite sure what it is, but I think they're trying to find out what they have to remodel.
And how did they do it? I think I had a tour in there once, and there were some bricks that were exposed where the paint had fallen away. So they need to kind of reconstruct what happened there.
Right. Yeah. So I included a cool picture that was actually on the State Park of California Association email. I get a lot of my information because I subscribe to all of these agency emails, and they kind of do the writing and doing the picture for me. But it's a great picture of the lighthouse sleeved in black cloak and scaffolding. So
that's great. Yeah, we're all excited about it. And our local ham radio club is going to activate at that Pigeon Point Lighthouse on the same weekend as PAF. We have PAF, Pescador Arts and Fun Festival, on the third weekend of August every year. And they will be doing a lighthouse thing as well. And the ham radio operators have a booth at PAF, and we'll be communicating with the Pigeon Point Lighthouse.
I love PAF. It's such a fun event. I love
that.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Okay, so something that pertains to Mid-Coast and South Coast is the Agricultural Advisory Committee farmers have seen a huge decline in farming. And in their last meeting, they were asking, are we short farm worker housing? They think they need a new audit, as the last one was done in 2016. Mm-hmm. And it found that 1,000 farm workers needed housing. Now, I know there was a 2020 study that was done by Pescadero Community, but it didn't really include a housing audit for the farm workers. It was really a precursor, I think, to like the rural analysis. It's almost like a pre-lead up for planning.
Yeah, it was. That was from the Pescadero Community Foundation, and it's a part of the foundation called Workforce Housing Organization. And they did a housing report, which is on their website, pescaderocommunityfoundation.org. It just gives you the background of the struggles about housing of all sorts over the last few decades.
It's a good jumping off point. Mm-hmm. For us, though, Bay City Flowers closed, and that deleted 300 workers right there. So if there were 1,000 in 2016 and Bay City closed in 2019-20, mm-hmm. and we lost 300 there, and then you have the Markeys were on the AAC meeting, and they were saying, but there's less of us now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just post-COVID, everything is there's just fewer people, fewer farmers. Mm-hmm. And so you know, it would be good to do an analysis. And I think that will be done with the, we're going to be talking about PMAC, but we do need workforce housing for hospitality workers, construction, mm-hmm. and teachers. So mm-hmm. it's opening up a lot of possibilities. So what's going on with PMAC, Catherine?
Well, very big news. They had their meeting on June 11th, Tuesday, and Ray Mueller was there. And he made an announcement in regard to a resolution coming before the Board of Supervisors in regard to PMAC. They're going to resolve that the current PMAC members, their terms will expire. There will be an election in November for a whole new group of 5 members. And the resolution limits the number of members of PMAC to 5. And then what will happen is that they are going to be at large. They're going to eliminate the districts. Right now, there are 5 districts. There will only be a PMAC district, and everyone will serve at large. There's going to be a couple of days when people can learn how to be a candidate. And of course, this isn't special just for PMAC. I mean, on June 26th and on July 24th, the county is holding these candidate seminars or forums, not to have the candidates announce themselves, but to have candidates say, hey, can I do this? Is this something I want to do? What's involved? What are the rules? How do I do right. this? Mm-hmm. So that's coming up. And then people will have to sign up, step forward, and actually sign up between, say, July 15th and August something, August 15th, perhaps, and we'll get more clear on that. But hey, we have to go find beat the bushes and find the people who are going to be representative of our community. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. And if we can find out a little bit more about the candidate seminars, I'm hoping that they're going to be remote and I'm hoping they're going to be recorded. I know you have to go down to the county. You have to go down to the county to pull papers. You can't mm-hmm. do it from here. So that might be, again, we're going to find out in real time because this is,
I was on PMAC. We had to go up to 40 Tower Road. That's up, that's sort of near Belmont at the top of 92 there and sign up. And it is an interesting process, but this will be the most interesting election for PMAC there has ever been. Yeah. So 2 things will be on the ballot. 1, a resolution to reduce the size from 13 to 5. It hasn't had 13 in years because they can't find the candidates for it. Yeah. 5 is a much more appropriate number, and what's typical of a council like that. The other thing that's going to be on the ballot is the 5 candidates. And the way they're going to work it is the top 3 vote getters will have terms of 4 years. The 4th and 5th vote getters will have terms of 2 years. And then there will be elections every 2 years going forward. You know, and people will have a 4-year term and they'll have an election as appropriate.
Right. In Half Moon Bay, there are 2 districts that don't get to vote for 6 years. Because they miss, you know, they were at large, they got to vote for at large, but then you've got the 4-year group that gets to go, and then the 2-year gets to go. And so that was basically 6 years that they wouldn't get to vote. But that's part of the districting problem that we have. And I'm glad that they're doing it with at large. I know off the record, we had talked about the census driving the districting. You don't have enough people for that. So Ray being an attorney, Supervisor Mueller, being an attorney, he understands, you know, those nuances. And I think it's a really cool management tool that he's allowing you guys to.
Yeah, we're excited about him because he's really been such an activist district supervisor. But the other thing he brought up was the housing element for Pescadero. The fact that it's that we as Pescadero have some special needs items in the housing element is such big news for us. And they're actually going to do an assessment for the farm labor housing within that. They're going to do an assessment on the community planning process and doing a master plan. They're going to have the assessment of the regulations and smoothing them out so that some progress can be made on building ADUs and housing and the potential there for us to actually get some of the things we've needed for decades is there. And it's exciting. It really is.
It is very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, coming back up coast, the Harbor District has been awarded a feasibility study for a Princeton Harbor shoreline mitigation. You will notice that many properties in the harbor have rocks or revetment in front of their properties so that it's being protected from erosion and sea level rise. The damage was caused by the Army Corps of Engineers breakwater, which was built in 1959 to 1960 with the granite rocks from what now is Quarry Park, which is a park you can walk your dog and, and your kids and stuff like that. The feasibility study was approved under the Army Corps' Continuing Authority Program, Section 111, which is really geeky. And we've not been able to do anything to mitigate this since 1961 because the erosion started happening immediately. But our harbor general manager, Jim Pruitt, is ex-US Coast Guard. So he's also JAG. So he's a federal guy. And he came into office and said, hey, you know, it's a Army Corps navigation project. Therefore, if they mess up, they have to fix it. And we'd been scrambling around trying to sue them. There was this guy, Michael Powers, who actually sued him. And the Army Corps goes, yep, you're right. We screwed everything up, but we don't have anything federal to protect south of the breakwater. So bummer for you. But Jim is saying, no, that's not how it works. And then we have an Army Corps guy on the actual Harbor Commission, and he used to be in charge of permitting for the Army Corps. So we've got these two ringers that are really starting to make things happen.
Oh, my God.
Very exciting. And here you are in Pescadero thinking about jurisdiction and power and influence. And the PMAC is going to have a lot more ability to be able to manage things like this. In your case, it's housing. In our case, we're just losing our land.
It's big.
The county is going to come through with a planned Princeton land use plan, and it'll reappear this year. It has mostly to do with the Inner Harbor. It started 10 years ago, but due to sea level rise, they withdrew, but now they're back. And they're working with the Harbor District, which is a really good thing. So. And then last week, the Half Moon Bay Planning Commission considered a Measure D ADU ballot measure for this November. Measure D was a 1% growth control ballot measure that passed, I think, about 20 years ago. And that was to protect the quaint nature of Half Moon Bay by not having it build out so fast. The commission's job was to make a recommendation for the city council. So when you talk about process, the planning commission, wherever you are, even if you're in the county level, they'll see something before supervisors do. And that's sort of the process. So you know, for PMAC, it'll be PMAC will make a decision, then it'll go to the planning commission, then it'll go to the supervisors. And so the planning commission for Half Moon Bay, it wasn't very clear as to what the ramifications of allowing ADUs would be to infrastructure, traffic, water, et cetera, et cetera. So they were concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So they voted 3-2 to continue the decision to the next planning commission meeting. And
is it lack of information or what are they looking for?
I think it is a lack of information, but the type of information they're asking for would take months and months and months to put together. And I think it's really, we need housing so badly, and we have the RENA numbers, the housing element, you know, the Regional Housing Authority. They're basically saying you got to build 480 houses. And what happened over the last few years since the RENA numbers came out is people have X number of things that they can build. Well, there were 17 things in the downtown that did not get taken up by anybody. Nobody wanted to build in the downtown, but there were at least 20 that were outside of downtown that wanted to build, and they mostly were ADUs. So that has begged the question from the city council for several years as to how do we get more ADUs built quickly? And ADUs in this environment with the housing element in the state of California, the Housing Development Commission, basically saying, we want you to build houses and we don't really care how you do it, but you need to get it done. And because so many people are willing to put in ADUs, and we have 4,200 single family homes in Half Moon Bay. So we could build a lot of ADUs. Now, will that affect water? Maybe, but
somewhat.
Think you'll find that a lot of the people that are already here would be the ones that would be in the ADUs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably having your children
Right.
live there, or you the parents move to the
Exactly right.
ADU and the children with the kids live in the
Right.
house. That I mean, that's the typical thing that happens, and that's what you hope you can do, that your kids don't have to move away. Here in Pescadero, lots and lots of families have moved to Folsom. It's like the second Pescadero over there. All the kids, all the families, and then eventually the grandparents too move to Folsom because that's where the families are. It's just
And I think
sad.
ADUs, down South Coast would be, they're much less expensive to build. And in this state of build more housing, the implications for infrastructure are actually, and speaking of housing, $40 million were allocated by the San Mateo County supervisors last Tuesday to spur new affordable housing, including $12 million for the Moss Beach Cypress Point project. And they've got quite a m bit of money. This is not the first time that they've been awarded money, so I'd have to add it all up, and I haven't done that yet.
This is from Midpin.
That will be built by MidPen, and the 555 Kelly Retired Farm Worker Housing is by Mercy. And those are tax credit organizations that will build. They get the tax credit, but they don't install any infrastructure, which is sort of why the public doesn't like it. But it gets back to, you're going to argue about ADUs when you're putting in 71 units.
That's, yeah, kind of
Well,
ironic, isn't it?
the
I
commission
mean,
was worried about
you do.
ADUs. Well, what happened if we have 500 ADUs? And I go, well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think people, my question was when I was on KHMB earlier this morning was, would you build one? And we'll see.
Well, I honestly think, if they're saying if you have 420 homes now, 10% of that, I bet you anything, 10% of those people want to buy ADUs, rental income, if nothing else. So, yeah, this is a very good like.
If you live in Half Moon Bay, El Granada, or Princeton, then you drink Coastside County water, and this post is for you. After 10 years of engineering research, the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission explains to the Coastside County Water District Board that the Pilarcitos Dam that's up there at the top of 92 will need to be retrofitted or rebuilt on orders by the DSOD. That's the Division of Safety of Dams. And
Oh, wow. There's a division of safety of
Yes, I didn't
dams.
know that. I was at a digital journalism conference at Stanford last year around April. And one of the journalists there, I asked him, I said, hey, we've got this dam problem, not this dam problem, but this dam problem. And because the Half Moon Bay had an inundation of water between the 2022 2023 storms. And the water came all the way down from up high. And it was so much of it, it didn't quite make sense. And so we were all questioning, did it overtop the dam? And Cal Fire was like, yeah, it overtopped it. So that meant you're just getting the entire watershed all at once.
No flood control
And
there. That's
so
sad.
then, we're asking, well, how, in what condition is this earthen dam? Well, apparently the SFPUC has been working with the DSOD for 10 years on this question. And the DSOD, which is what this guy at this journalism conference said, have you heard about the DSOD? And I go, no. And he's like showing me a link.
No.
And here we are a year later, and things are actually happening. The problem for us will be that we'll have to get our water from over the hill at Crystal Springs, which means,
So you don't right now, you don't get the water
Pilarcitos
pumped
Lake
over
is
from
higher
Crystal
up.
Springs?
It's not, it's actually on this side. So the water comes down gravity fed for the most part. It's got to be pumped to where the gravity fed is, but it's mostly, it's PG&E is expensive to pump water.
I've seen that lake. I've been by it accidentally.
Yeah,
So,
that's
yeah.
what
Now,
it's
when I was a little kid, we went on, remember John F. Kennedy's 20-mile hike thing? When I was a kid, I went on a 20-mile hike, I thought, from Pacifica to Millbrae, where my aunt lived, with my brother. I was what, 15? He was 10, something like that, marching through the Crystal Springs Reservoir area, which we were not supposed to do, and came across this lake I didn't know existed, which
Well, it is owned. SFPUC is short for City of San Francisco. So the City of San Francisco owns our water. And but the DSOD is state level, and there's very few things that outrank the SFPUC. Literally, for Planning Commission, for San Mateo County, and the supervisors, they have, they basically, the SFPUC, if they're polite, they'll say, hey, we're doing this, period. So in this case,
Just to let you
the
know.
DSOD was telling, and so my title was, you don't want to tick off the SFPUC. We have to work with them as a team. And they're very professional. They're people too. And I think the Coastside County Water District, they're just such a professional organization as well. And one of the things that I said to the general manager is this is going to be really complicated for people. There might be, have to be a rate increase because this is going to take 10 years. And I said, but so much like the PMAC changes, roll them out slowly, incrementally to get people on board so that they understand so they're not hit by a load of bricks when things go a little bit haywire. It's a fascinating presentation though. It was really well done.
Okay, and then the link is on your website, Coastside. You know, we've got to say this. It's at www.coastsidebuzz.com, by the way.
Yes, go to Coastside Buzz so that you can watch the video.
Source of information on the coast.
Go to Coastside Buzz calendar for lots of events and peruse the Coast Views Music and Entertainment Guide, which has all the music from Pescadero, San Gregorio, even Loma Mar, and to Pacific.
Does it include Highway 1 Brewing Company and everything?
So we get our through social media, and it really depends on how good their social media is and whether it's up. And actually, I checked in with La Honda, and they like it to be just purely local. They don't need any buzz. Thank you very much. So there we go.
Okay. Well, I want to say that KPDO has a new show, Floydian Slip, that is moderated by a student, Skylar Clark, and he does announce the very local music for Loma Mar Store and San Gregorio Store and whatever venues are having music locally. Nice. So I just give a little plug to Skylar. I think it's
good
a great
for Skylar.
Project
like
for him.
That. Up this way, we have a bookmobile. Do you have a bookmobile that comes down to you guys?
Yep. Every other Wednesday between like 1:30 and 3 at the right across from the post office. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know lots of people who use it. It's a favorite thing.
We're in the Mid-Coast in El Granada. We don't have a library. I mean, there is a big library in Half Moon Bay, but it's still 7 miles away. And it's about distance from Half Moon Bay to Pescadero as it is to the Mid-Coast. And then certainly for Montara and Moss Beach. But anyway, we finally got a bookmobile and it comes the second and fourth Mondays. We have a new assistant manager at the Granada Community Service District. And she's just very proactive about getting things done.
So Granada Community Service District, I didn't even know about that.
They were a sewer district and then they ran a vote by the people and now they're a park district as well. And they're trying to build a park right opposite Surfers Beach, which is going to have a community center because we don't have a community center Mid-Coast as well. And of course, they had the Mid-Coast Community Council had a meeting just this last Wednesday. And there's always going to be a contingent of people that have a problem with whatever you're doing. And
that's true.
We had that contingent show up at the meeting. Their complaints are not without merit. It's just we have 9 jurisdictions within that small area from Caltrans, Fish and Wildlife, the county, GCSD. It just goes on and on. And Caltrans is taking away about 75 parking spaces, which have always been illegal. But for 40 years, people have been using Highway 1 to park on. And so now they're taking them away and putting in bike lanes and people are freaking out because that means people are going to start parking in the neighborhoods and that's not what people want. And so we're trying to work that out. GCSD, their parking is the same as it is now. Actually, I think it was two fewer, but they're going to have some diagonal parking that's going to be on the lateral road that's east of the highway. But yeah, we'll see how that works. But tonight, Pescadero has their community space kickoff and visioning event, and I will be there.
It's so true. Now, I think as far as visioning, it's more like suggestion. People are going to toss ideas around, and there are people who have ideas, but there are also a lot of people who just want to see, well, what does it look like? Yeah. How big is it? What could be done here? And we're still trying to figure out a little bit of that out. The county has been great. Nicholas Calderon is the county parks head, and he's helped us a lot, and he's been right there with
Nicholas
us.
He really is.
Yeah, and I attribute that to some extent to Nick Arridge. Nick Arridge is the PMAC member who really kind of shepherded this through PMAC and kept it going when Don Harsley got out of office, and then Ray Mueller came on, and he has really kind of made it happen. And so, hey, this is the culmination of a lot of things. We have a $2 million grant, which apparently doesn't quite do it, but at least it's a big, big start, depending on what we want. And everybody's decided we want a park, a little sweet park, and it doesn't have to be complicated. So We'll see what
One
we
of
can
the
get
things
from
that I've observed in my almost 10 years of doing this is that when you have a blank slate, it's harder for people to imagine something. But if you had like a couple of sketches, just sketches, then people will say, they did this for the library, the Half Moon Bay Library. They came up with, I think it was like maybe four or five different ways that you can use the space that we had to build in. They did have a pretty good budget that the city of Half Moon Bay is still paying off, but it's a beautiful space. It's really awesome. But if you can get to that point where you just have...
That's the goal. There's a company called Gates and Associates. And so we're going to do a whole bunch of outreach. Right. This is part of it. And then Gates and Associates is going to have the kind of charrette kind of thing where you look at pictures. Right now, there are some ideas on pescaderoplaza.com. Yep. But, and people are welcome to join the committee or somehow sign up or just make their suggestions. So tonight, people can put their ideas out there. And we're also asking, well, what would you like it to be named? And it's just a guess. One of the people on our steering committee, Irma Mitten, also happens to be on the Parks Commission. Okay. And so she said, hey, there's no rules about this. When we decide, it'll come up at some point and the most popular name wins. So
if I do have a suggestion, I know Carter Park was given $4.5 million by his assemblyman, Mark Berman. And he happened to be in the area for a coffee clatch, you know, talk to the public kind of thing. And the city manager at the time said, hey, you want to come down and see this blank space? We have Shakespeare that's down there and, you know, we want to build a park. And he got $4.5 million. The problem is the park is now over budget. You can over envision, you know,
overdo it.
Well,
that's why we want to
keep it simple.
Yeah.
And
very
not
simple.
Get too
very
excited
simple.
About it.
Well, we can get excited about it anyway. I mean, we just want benches, park benches, and a couple
maybe
of trees and grass.
Safe.
I mean, well, we have to have a public bathroom. That's going to be such a big expense that we don't know what else we can ask for.
Right.
We did want the old school building to be moved there, and that's not happening because it's on the Noel Diaz property, and Noel Diaz's inheritors don't want it moved. So it looks as though it could still be a museum, but not on the parkland. So it'll be very sweet. I think it's just going to be a place where the stroller moms can come. And there are two trails being planned by MidPen, one that could end up right there, the other that could start right there from Pescadero to the sea. And so it could be signage from MidPen showing the trail system and a little dog bag things, you know, for if you want your dog out there and just basics.
Sounds like fun. I'll see you tonight.
So
we have up our way, we have the Sea Hugger Annual Festival. If anybody wants to come up to Montero Beach, they're going to have volleyball. They're going to have bubbles. They're going to pick up some trash. And it's just the weather right here, right now is fabulous. And don't forget, the county has a fireworks buyback. If you know people who have fireworks, you might want to mention that there's a buyback. They're like $200 you know, per person type of things. And the Coast Views music drops every Wednesday and the weekly Buzz Mail posts on Thursday. So subscribe for free and stay tuned to Coastside Buzz.
All right. So this weekly Coastside Buzz report is being recorded on Friday, June 14th. So unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be on the air as an announcement for the kickoff tonight. But next time we'll talk a little bit more about what happened.
That sounds great. I'll see you tonight.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.